Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, what is a man that you take knowledge of him? Or the Son of Man that you make account of him? Psalm 144:3. Some of us, not all of us, occasionally fall into distress by failing to remember who and what we really are before a being of such power and light as the one who created all things. Saints, deal with it. We are all nothing without God in us. Now, the world would send me to therapy and counseling for a statement like this, but we can't deny that at times we lose sight of just who it is we serve and just who is giving the orders around here. We have been called and chosen, not the other way around. Titus 3:5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Not one of us went looking for God before he mercifully opened our eyes, caused us godly repentance, 2 Corinthians 7:10. Gave us salvation and prepared a place for us in his kingdom, that we should purify ourselves and remain walking in his statutes at all times, to the end. I'll give you a repeat after me prayer that will definitely work with God. Repeat after me. I am nothing. Isn't that where we all started in Christ, broken down and in fear? What makes us think it should be any different now? Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if you have understanding. Job 38:4. Who has put wisdom in the inward parts? Or who has given understanding to the heart? Job 38:6. I repeat, who do we think we are? Who among us in the slightest way enabled ourselves to seek God, to render praise and worship and service to our God? If this be so, that it is God working through us, what's the problem? We mingle a bit too much pride into our work at times, don't we? We choose the manner of our service at times, don't we? We wrestle with questions about our usefulness, and we get anguished because things just don't happen as we believe they should. Don't we walk by faith instead of by sight, 2 Corinthians 5:7? Could these distresses be born of desire, self-ambition? Does this please our God? Hath not the potter power over the clay, Romans 9:21? The fruits of our faith are a result of God's pruning, purging, bringing forth from us. We're not the vine. We're a part of it, John 15:5. We're grafted in. Being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God, Philippians 1:11. Is this to imply by us, the servants, or by Jesus, the Master, and to whose glory? Don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own, 1 Corinthians 6:19? We possess only that which God has given, not of ourselves. The scriptures instruct us to ask for wisdom, which begins with the fear of this mighty God. Proverbs 9:10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Scripture tells us we can never really know the mind of our God, not fully, but rather we must humble our haughty minds and obey his statutes, that we may know and do his will. Leviticus 22:31, therefore shall you keep my commandments and do them. I am the Lord. There it is. I am the Lord, that phrase, appears 161 times in the Old Testament. I suggest we take a good long hard look at these passages. You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you have created all things, and for your pleasure they are and were created. Revelation 4:11. For whose pleasure? Hosea 2:20. He will bring us to himself by his calling, and he will give us the faith, the power to be faithful to him, and you shall know the Lord. God chose to give this gift of fellowship with him to us, despite ourselves, to bring him glory. We didn't deserve it. We didn't want it before our eyes were mercifully opened. We must strive to keep ourselves focused and pure before this kind of fearful and benevolent mercy, and thankful at all times. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Luke 12:32, his good pleasure. Ephesians 1:9, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he has purposed in himself. Did we decide that we were going to receive the kingdom? 2 Thessalonians 1:11, wherefore also we pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of this calling, and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness, and the work of faith with power. The servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent than he that sent him. John 13:16. Where does pride, vanity, and self-will figure into humble obedience? We make the sometimes fatal mistake of connecting any service-related inactivity or fruitless results, by our accounting, with some shortcoming on God's part. If it is a shortcoming, it's usually of our own making. We should know this. Remember that God set us to our tasks, his tasks, and we dare not presume to arrogate any tasks to ourselves apart from him. To put it bluntly, receive your orders. Don't make them up as you go. If we're truly as low and humble as we should be, we will know when God is leading and when we are leading. Haven't we learned that it is God who sets us forth upon our paths, in his fields, by his good pleasure? If we're so foolishly proud so as to think that we must be the ones creating our spiritual work schedule, we've become vain, useless. That would bring dishonor to the potter, moving about by our own will and whim. Have some of us become vessels that move by their own will? This is what we do sometimes. We head off on our own, away from his will, taking the contents where they are not meant to go. And is this pleasing to our master? That which is in front of you is your service. The point is, serve God right where you are, with your hands off the reins. Learn a little patience. Wait on God. If you fix your eyes on a distant horizon, you're taking your eyes off the next step you must take along the road to life, and you will stumble. Pay attention to the dust of the way, where your feet are, not some indiscernible speck on the far horizon that may or may not be there when you get there, if you get there. When God moves you, go forth with courage, without doubt, but move forth by his leading only and always. Shall he that contends with the Almighty instruct him? For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than yours, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Isaiah 55:8-9. Will we contend with and instruct our God, pleasing our own intellects and desires, or will we humble ourselves before him, emptied and helpless? Take your mind and will out of your vessel and present it once again to God, empty and clean. Don't let those vessels become sepulchers. Give God the fellowship he jealously craves with his creation, as his called out ones, by the power he has given you. The way to right fellowship with God is by answering his call and following his Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, as he taught us, in humility, surrender, and without a will of our own. Nevertheless, not my will but thine be done. Let the works of faith, the fruits of his Spirit in us, be brought forth by him. God planted the seed, God waters it, nurtures the plant, prunes it, and it bears fruit, or works, by his hand. It is faith, the gift of God, Ephesians 2:8, by which this occurs. If God is all in all, there is no place for us in this life he has given us. Does "it is no longer I that liveth" have a familiar ring? And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. 1 Corinthians 15:28. God created all things to his glory to return to him ultimately. Everything returns to God in the end, even God's own Messiah. So what's your pleasure? Is it God's will or your own? Remember, saints, our motives are weighed by the Lord. Our motives are deep within our hearts, and no one can see them but God. By these shall we be judged, as well as by the fruits thereof. As it has been said, if we seek salvation for our own motives and seek to be seen by men, we will reap catastrophe. We have consolation for our suffering. 2 Corinthians 1:5-7. We are sharing in the sufferings of Christ. We have peace through this suffering. Isaiah 26:3. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. We're suffering as servants of God. 1 Peter 2:20. Blessed are you when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you, and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. No matter our talents or gifts, we are called to be servants, first to God, to the glory of God. God will use our talents as he pleases, after we are willing to serve him, not before. We are also taking a beating for this way we walk. 2 Timothy 3:12, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. As living sacrifices, Romans 12:1, as living stones, 1 Peter 2:5. Let's not be judged for stepping out of our role as simple and humble servants, and leave the Holy Spirit to his task after the seeds are planted. For it is better if the will of God be so that you suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing, 1 Peter 3:17. Don't let any unclean emotion enter in and spoil the perfect servant's heart. Remember that we should have no will but that which is God's when we are serving, nothing more, nothing less. And we serve all the time. Anything but total obedience is sin. When we step out of God's will, the trouble enters, and our spirits aren't at peace. And thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. God's first purpose is to be exalted and glorified, to be fellowshipped with by his creation. He is before anything was, and he will be long after it is gone. Please remember, as he has created us from the dust, he sends us back to it. That is our lot. That is all we really are. Without the life of his Holy Spirit within us and the hope of eternal life with him, accepting this is wisdom. Wisdom which causes humility and brokenness and meekness. This is a daily chore, a crucifixion, daily maintenance, examining ourselves. We keep being humble, the way continually becomes narrower. Our beaten and bleeding Savior taught us meekness, didn't he? And forgiveness and love and what it was like to be a servant. We do well to remember it. Every true believer and follower of Jesus Christ serves as Jesus Christ would have them serve. Serves as Jesus Christ. Serve God faithfully and you will suffer for it. Let God do the thinking. Hear His words. Do His words. Separate yourselves. Be holy and rejoice in the hope of glory, in peace. Let the winds howl. Let the seas rage. The promises of Jesus of Nazareth, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Son of the living, mighty God, are true and will never be broken. Stand and endure, saints of God. Stand and endure humbly and obediently. We are commanded not to look back or even upon ourselves. Give ambition no quarter. Give God a clean and empty vessel fit for service. The way is narrow. The times are perilous. Darkness covers the world as we speak. Trim your lamps and be vigilant. Remember, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. James 4:6. John 16:33. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world.